take bowl of grass, you got water, put it underneath the bed, or expecting to have the wise men bring the gift at night. And in the morning, the grass was gone. The water was gone. We looked at our bed, and what did we get? We did not get RC cars. We got school supplies. And we were rushed. We were sad. School supplies? Who needs a notebook? Who needs a pencil? Who needs a sharpener? No one needs. Actually, we did need it, but we were kids. What we wanted was that remote control car from the store, the toy store that's down the street. So we show up to school a few days later, and everyone, you know, they can bring their toys to play with at recess, and they're playing with their toys that they got during the other days. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, look what I got. And it's, hey, what did you get? But as I grew up, I understood that we don't always get what we want, but sometimes we get what we need. And that is the main point of the message that I want to bring. That's right. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity of being here, studying the Bible, studying your word. Help us to open the Bible with humble hearts, wanting to hear from you, Lord. Speak to us in this morning and bring words of hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The sermon this morning is when we see Hosea. And as I was preparing it, I was thinking, I have to make sure that people don't get confused and think that I'm preaching a Palm Sunday sermon, but this is actually an Easter sermon. We get to meditate on Jesus and the sacrifice, his death, and resurrection. We'll be reading Matthew chapter 21, if you can open your Bibles and go with me to Matthew chapter 21. We have Jesus coming to Jerusalem here. And we see the people waiting for something, wanting something, expecting something. But there's a twist in the story that they didn't see coming. So we're going to be reading and studying and seeing what happens with Jesus when he comes to Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, and he said to them, 'Go into the village, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you should tell them, the Lord has needed them, and then they immediately will send them.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by also following him, as the scripture says. And they were just expressing and recognizing the messianic role of Jesus, the one who had been promised to come to us. We have the place where this story takes place is Jerusalem, the city that had been promised to the people that would take one day become the holy city of God, where the kingdom of God will be established. A very significant place for this story to develop. And then we have these expressions. We have them saying, blessed is he who happened, number one, recognizing that Jesus is the Son of David. And then they are crying, blessed is he, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. They are proclaiming and crying and singing, Hosanna in the highest. Who are these people who are saying Hosanna? I was researching and reading, yes, the disciples were there following Jesus. There were people in Jerusalem because it was Passover, and so they were about to celebrate this amazing feast. So there were lots of Jews. There were also Romans around the vicinity, and there were other people who had gathered back into the city, people who came for business, people who came for other reasons. So there's lots of people here, but what I didn't realize is that they were people following Jesus, not necessarily for the reasons that we think they should have been following. As I was reading, I found this. These expressions that we just read in Matthew 21:9 point to two separate bodies of people, two separate groups, which combine in starting Jesus at a certain portion of the crowd. We learn from John, in John 1:12-18, so they cannot really see that. 12:18, that much people, greatly excited by the news of the raising of Lazarus, when they heard that he was in the neighborhood, hurried back from Jerusalem to meet and do him honor. These, when they met the other procession with Jesus right in the midst, turned back again and preceded him into the city. So we have the original multitude that is in Jerusalem, people who were there for the Passover feast. But also we have people who have heard of Jesus resurrecting Lazarus. We have people who have witnessed the previous miracle, such a great miracle, where Jesus had brought someone from the dead, and they can, they're amazed that this just happened. So we must follow this guy. This must be the Messiah. This must be the person that God promised that will come and bring salvation to us. And look what he's doing. He's bringing people back from dead to life. So we must follow him. What's the issue? And they were expecting Jesus to save them. What is wrong with that? While they were singing Hosanna, what is Hosanna? Hosanna is compounded of two words. What it means, save now, which means now. They were crying out loud to Jesus, save us now, save us now. You, the Son of David, save us now. You, the one who is saved from God, save us now. Crying out loud for Jesus to save them. As I was studying deeper into the topic, I found out that their motivation was not 100% correct. They got several things right. Can Jesus save us? And can Jesus save us now? Yes. Was Jesus the Son of David? Yes. Was Jesus the one who was sent from God? Yes. But they didn't want salvation, the type of salvation Jesus was bringing. They didn't want life, the type of life that Jesus was bringing. They wanted immediate deliverance from the Romans as Jews that had been enslaved and that had been abused for years and years, centuries. They just wanted freedom in the moment. They just wanted a ruler, a governor, someone who will overthrow Rome and will just bring this political. bring salvation. Yes, it was going to bring eternal life. But the people were confused about what type of freedom and salvation Jesus was bringing. It's really funny that Jesus says nothing. They are shouting, Hosanna, you are the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He is right now coming. And once he enters Jerusalem, you have time to read it. You probably don't have time to read the whole thing now. But right after verse 9, 10, 11, verse 12, Jesus cleanses the senses. He gets down that donkey, enters the city, finds his mess, and he gets really angry with the religious leader of that time, and he starts cleansing the temple because that is not what the temple was supposed to be. The house of God, he says, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So he's denouncing the authority right there, which some of the people that multitude were following that he was crazy by doing that, but some of them were like really excited. Yes, this is exactly what we're looking for. That ruler who's going to overthrow everything, the one who's going to cause the revolution, is here, and now we see him in action. Place is supposed to bring people closer to God is at this time, at that time, was just pushing them away. Jesus looked at what happened after they sing Hosanna. That is what leads us to see Jesus as dead, knowing his resurrection will be celebrated. Jesus places the temple, Matthew chapter 26. We see a few things that happen leading to his death. And in Matthew 26, if you can go with me there, we find that he went to Bethany right after after cleansing the temple because some people were not happy. And so he knew that he got stirred a little bit, the water to his hand, and he wanted a quiet space for him and his disciples. So he goes to Bethany, he says at the end of chapter 21. And in chapter 26, verse 6 says, and when Jesus was in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him saying, having an alabaster flask of great cost with fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why did you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you once broken, it cannot be restored. This is not partial, because it is prolonged. The fragrance spreads beyond the one person. And in the same way, the render love for Christ never remains hidden. It goes up absolutely. It seems to invite the danger long after the moment. Jesus about to be crucified, about to be crucified, someone who was coming behind, and his disciples are just thinking here and there about things, meaningless things. Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before the Lord. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. This is a beautiful reminder that grace, the grace and the love of God is way was the disciples who were walking with Jesus, who spent years in ministry with him, who had just, you know, broken bread and had wine with him, and had their feet washed. They were denying him and betraying him. Imagine us. They were right next to Jesus, like in physical contact with him. Yet they were not strong enough to be what they were supposed to be. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us, to strengthen us, to teach us what to do at the right time, like what is the right thing to do at the right time, and what is the right thing to ask. We need the mercy of God that meets us where we fall. We need the redemption of Jesus to actually create change and bring new life into our hearts. So the act of remembering that Jesus died and resurrected is not just sitting down, and especially during this weekend when we celebrate the death and resurrection of him. It's not just a passive act of sitting down and remembering, but an act like, what are we doing about it? How much are we praying? How much closer to Jesus do we actually want to get? Then we come to the act of crucifixion, moment of the cross. What we consider to be the center of the story, some might say the most important part, but we see how John 19 says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scriptural had been fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of vinegar was there, so they soaked the sponge in it, but the sponge on a stalk of the they put the sponge on the stalk of a hyssop plant and lifted it up to Jesus, and he had received the drink. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head. Not only was Jesus misunderstood by the people around him when he was about to die, not only was he betrayed by the closest of his people, not only was he denied, but then he had to lose his life for them and for you. So we just have to remember that Jesus was not dragged to the cross against his will. Jesus was not, you know, taken against his will, and he was actively fighting them when he was being dead. He did that. He did that willingly. He didn't have to be forced. They went to take him, and he said, "I am here." The disciples wanted to put up a fight, and he brought his word, and said, "Put that away. I am here." They wanted to take my life. And again, if that was the end of the story, I would not be here speaking. If that was